Blog Talk Radio.
A prisoner of war, a honorary
old person for all his service that he's done for our country, and Miss Aretha Franklin, who did more as a pop singer to spread joy to all the people in the United States. So we're dedicating this program to them. Well, Z, it was a kind of a quiet week this week. What do you think? Except for up there in the rain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I want to say hello to everyone and to my Fighting Words family.
I have a question for you. I know you're the technical expert, and we like to always ask you the questions. Pedroza and Lomachenko, December 1st, what do you think of that fight?
Well, first of all, I want to get into the Pedraza Beltran fight. How Pedraza earned he kind of earned his way to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Beltran, he was actually favored in the fight. Pedraza was moving up to fight. With that said, Pedraza put on a wonderful boxing performance. He moved well. His timing and speed looked very, very well. And one thing is, Beltran, he's a good fighter. He's not, I don't want to call him, he's a rough fighter, a very rough fighter. He's going to come to fight. He's going to come forward. He's skilled, but he's more going to try to fight you. He's going to try to hurt you. And
mm-hmm.
that's where his trade lays. So,
mm-hmm.
As far as technical skill, a more technical skill guy at times could get at him. And
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what Pedraza did. He moved around right. He picked his angles right. And he hit Beltran and made Beltran respect his power to a certain extent. So, and Beltran couldn't let his punches go the way Beltran usually does. I mean, Beltran, he's a warrior. He'll move forward, throw punches. He'll trade punches. But in this case, he couldn't. He got hit hard and couldn't hit his target. And that it was a wonderful boxing performance. With that said, if Pedraza matching up against Lomachenko, that's a different story. And I'll say that just because if Beltran would have matched up against Lomachenko, that would have been a different story. Not to compare fighters, but there are levels to this. There are levels
mm-hmm.
to this. And for what's to be said, I mean, Pedraza has lost fights to wonderful fighters.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a fight to Edna Cherry that I thought Edna Cherry won. And, you know, obviously he got stopped by Tank Davis, by Javante
mm-hmm.
Davis. So, although they're wonderful fighters, I can't quite say they're on the level of Lomachenko at this point.
Right.
And I can't. So just the matchup itself is, it's just a little one-sided to me, especially with Pedraza. I mean, he looked good at the weight. He looked very good
mm-hmm.
at the weight against Beltran. That's one opponent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you go back and take a look at that fight, as you were saying, that was a surprise victory because, he did, and you said, like you said, he did work it in the center of the ring and just kept going at him. And I think Beltran was stung for the very first shot. And at 12 rounds, he got the decision. So that was a good one. But I'm not sure that he's ready for Lomachenko, and especially since we're talking not even 4 months, 3 months and just a few days for his next fight. And I wonder if he's really going to be ready for that.
Well, financially, he's ready. I mean, financially, he's more than ready. So,
sure.
And as far as the Beltran fight, physically, you take your bruises, you take your bumps, you're going to take your bruises, your scars. But as far as I see, he didn't really get banged up too much in that fight. So,
right.
He maybe a few months, 2 months off in a good camp, 3 month camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll be ready. I figure he'll be ready.
Sure.
I mean, ready enough, ready as he would ever be, in my estimation.
Sure. Right. Let's call Dr. Chris on because we're going to get Dr. Don Skinner on with us. He's another fight enthusiast and fight historian at 7:30.
Hey.
So let's get Chris online now.
All right.
We'll just leave the line open and bring him in. Ladies and gentlemen, be prepared when he answers the phone. We never know what he's going to say.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Okay, just sitting here with talking to my grandson.
There
I'm sitting
go.
At his football game. It's over. We're just
right.
sitting here.
Good. Good.
So
well, we're on the
I'm going to run him home and be back. I'm going to run him home. Take me 10 minutes. Can you call me
okay.
back in 10 minutes? Is that too late?
Sure. That's
all right.
Fine.
I'll run him home. All right. See you.
Okay. Okay. You never know where he's coming from at any given time. He's a terrific guy, a good friend of 60 years, and so is Don Skinner, was a veterinarian that he and Dr. Ron and I always used, and we all four of us hung out together, watched fights together, and so it's been a good 60 years that we've known each other. Let me ask you, Mikey Garcia, he says he's going to KO Manny Pacquiao if they get in there. What do you think?
Well, that'll be an interesting fight at this point in time, at this juncture in Manny Pacquiao's career. And really, that would I would imagine that fight would take place at 147. I don't think Manny Pacquiao's moving down to fight Mikey Garcia. With that said, Mikey Garcia has never fought a welterweight, as far as I know, at 147. That is something different, to be honest. Manny Pacquiao, although he has slowed up a bit, has he slowed up enough for Mikey Garcia not to be getting hit by a 147-pound Manny Pacquiao? I'm not saying Manny Pacquiao is the hardest bone-crushingest guy at 147, but he has a respectable punch at 147, definite. So, as far as knocking Manny Pacquiao out, no, that's not going to happen. I don't think Manny Pacquiao's there with it in his career. He's a tough guy. He's a very resilient guy. He's a crafty guy. He's been in there with the best. So I mean, he has a warrior kind of fighting style at heart. He's not going to be. I mean, Marquez knocked him out off of very, very good timing and four fights, or three and a half fights. So I mean, that's different. Mikey Garcia is not. I mean, he's a very good fighter, but he's not that sort of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And as I brought about it before with Mikey Garcia, he's a very, very skilled fighter. I mean, one of the more skilled fighters out right now. But my one big criticism is he doesn't really go to the body. I mean, he's not really an effective body puncher. He's a headhunter. He'll throw a four-punch combination and get your guard really high, and then he'll try to go around, to your ears. And sometimes, a lot of times, guys will see that coming. A lot of times they won't, but at the same time, you have a wide-open body down there, and a guy that's on the defensive. That's kind of, if you're not going to go for that, that's kind of a weakness to me. I mean, you have wide-open spaces. Yeah, I mean, that's legal to hit the body. I mean, and I'm looking at it, and I've seen it, over the course of a few fights. Ty mentioned it. We talked about it over a few fights. And it's just, he did it a little bit against Robert Easter. And I'm thinking, if he keeps going to the body, he might be able to stop him. But it just seems not to be in his nature or not to be in his training as far as just, really planning to, throwing those – or hard to 1-2 up top to get the guard up and then really planning something to the body. That doesn't seem to be what is his nature like that, or planning something to the body and coming back to the head, trying to really get the clear opening. A lot of times you see him punching on a guard, of the high guard of a guy repeatedly. I understand that you're scoring and you're doing work, and the judges see that. But as far as effectiveness, you have an open liver. Great boxers are going. I mean, they're going to take that. I mean, good boxers, they're going to take that. Not saying he's not good or great, but you don't leave that open real estate open.
Right. Right. Well, you know, he also said that he thought he could knock out Lomachenko. Now, I find that really tough to believe that could happen.
Well, I will believe that before Pacquiao, first of all, just because Lomachenko's a lighter guy. And, I mean, I've seen Pacquiao in with a different level repeated. There's more history to Pacquiao. With that said, I would like to see him fight Lomachenko.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that Mikey right now he's looking toward the big money. He's looking at Errol Spence. He's calling out Errol Spence. He's calling out Manny Pacquiao. He's looking for a big payback. Can't blame him. I mean, he's to a certain measure paid his dues, and he's had promotional problems in the past. You know, that's cost him some time and some finances. So right now, I can see him. And, he's come back in the game. He's fought a few credible guys, and now he's calling out some guys. He's looking for the payback. He's moving up. He's looking at moving up to do that. And that gives me a hint to telling me that he's maybe not being able to make Lomachenko's weight anymore. Or, as far as, maybe a catch weight, but as far as that 130, 135 area, I think he may be a little almost done with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more going, looking really toward the welterweight. Even with the 140, he dabbled with that, I think, against Lipnick. But I think he's more or less looking at the 147. I suggest that he takes maybe a 2 or 3 147 fights. Beforehand, I know that's, sometimes that's just not fathomable in boxing terms, promotion-wise, and just, Mikey's a big name, so they're not going to just, have him with 3, crazy fights. People
right.
call him out and say that he's not fighting any competition. With that said, I would like to see him fight, maybe a nice tune-up now as a hard level welterweight, and then maybe fight a Luis Collazo. Not quite, the big guys, but somebody of that credible nature. Maybe have him fight a Devin Alexander. Maybe have him fight a Victor Ortiz. A welterweight that's not quite at the, at the top of the top, but they're still there, and they're right at that level. Just to have him kind of test it before you go up there and have him fight a Pacquiao. And that way he still can make that money or, still have a name and still can make, and still have that stepping stone if he passes that test.
Sure. Well, yeah, on the opposite coin, Pacquiao has said that he would like to fight 3 people. The first one was Keith Thurman. Second one was Mikey Garcia. And I'm blanking on the third one, but they were the 3 people that he had picked that Arum had said that he wanted to fight. But by the way, Bob Arum flew to the Philippines 3 weeks ago and sat down with Manny, and they must have kissed and made up because now he's going to represent him again. I guess Manny found out just how much work he has to do if he don't want to do it.
Well, Manny and Bob have always had a money relationship. So, and as far as Manny's last fight, it was promoted separate from Bob Arum and everything.
Right.
But one thing's for sure, Manny has always made off, at a good end with Bob Arum. Now, I'm never going to say the better end. That's however boxing and boxers and promoters go. But Manny's always he's made off at a good end.
Sure.
So, now, as far as in boxing realm, Keith Thurman promotion-wise, that's going to be hard to happen with Manny. I would like to see it. I would like to see Keith heal and go on, successfully with his career first. But I would love to see Manny and Keith go at it.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, Mikey Garcia, we just talked about that. I would love to see that. Also, but
with Manny, it's going to be a little difficult to see where Manny's going to be going right now.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, Manny's a guy. Manny's a guy that, I mean, he has options. Really, he has options, but they're kind of Bob Arum options.
Crawford's out there. Garcia, he's kind of, he's out there. You know, more free agent, but he's out there. I mean, he has options. Even Lomachenko is out there to a certain extent. Maybe a few other names.
The third name was
Terrence
Crawford.
Terrence Crawford, okay. And now that's a name that's been mentioned a lot. I will trigger that, just, you know, Bob Arum Philly. That is understandable. I would like to see that also. But Manny Pacquiao, I mean, he, to this point, he could go places, but he can't really go to the Keith Thurmans at this point.
Right.
I mean, not with options. He would go to a Jeff Horn rematch before he would see an Errol Spence.
Let me ask you, if Bob Arum gets back in the crowd, which he seems to be doing, do you think there's a chance that Freddie Roach will then take over from Boo Boy, or do you think he'll stick with Boo Boy?
After that last performance, I'm sorry, I don't think Freddie Roach is coming back in Pacquiao's
game. No.
And not saying that it can't happen or wouldn't, and it shouldn't. I'm just saying, Manny, I just think that not as much as, I just think their relationship kind of grew itself out. They're two grown men, and they kind of went their separate ways to a certain extent. Nothing wrong with that. It might be different philosophies, and it might just be differences of opinion as far as what one wants the other to do.
Right.
Simple as that. And however it went there, but after looking at that, even granted that Matisse didn't look the best that he did, Manny looked good. He looked good. He reacted good, and he boxed. He did some things, you know, pretty. He looked crafty. He looked really, really crafty.
Right.
And that's something that I realized, to where he didn't rely on his speed as much.
Right.
I mean, he still had it. And he didn't rely on – what he relied on was his speed and moments. Relied on his effectiveness with his speed, when to use his speed, not to overuse his speed. Manny Pacquiao, he's a fast guy, always overused his speed, but he always could, because he had the energy, and that was a part of his game, just to always kind of herky-jerk, move around, kind of catch you that way, throw his combinations. Straight left, trying to catch you. But it looked like he's shutting himself down. And saying that, it looked like he matured. He matured into his older boxing self to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Freddie Roach could have produced that.
No, he actually looked like it was he was a different fighter. His style seemed to have changed a lot. That I thought it was extremely good to see what he was doing. You could see the Boo Boy had been working really hard. Well, they've been working together since they were kids, but.
Yeah.
He certainly had a much more presence felt in the field than in the ring than Freddie Roach ever did. I thought that Manny looked, like you said, he looked more mature in his fighting form, but he also started to think about what he was doing out there. I think before, you were right. I think he just went out there and pummeled. I think this time he's got between the changes that Boo Boy's made, the changes in that the father's made with the training, and I think it's a tremendous effect that he's had on him, and it really looked good. I think Manny can last. He's not going to last much longer, but I think he can last a couple more good fights.
And you're exactly right. You're exactly right. He can let he could last longer doing that, fighting this way, than he could have lasted fighting off of what he was doing before. And that, and that's the thing I talk about, when the difference between talent and the physical talent and mental skill.
Right.
You have to blend them together. You cannot have really have one over the other. You have to match them up. You can have all the skill in the world, but if you don't have some sort of physical abilities, you don't build yourself with to have some physical abilities, you can't employ the skill.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can build yourself to have all of the physical abilities, but if you don't have the skill, you don't know what to employ.
Right.
So you have to have a blend of. And that it seems that Manny Pacquiao right now, later in his career, is beginning to kind of, get that blend in.
Great. Start to realize what he's got rather than try to brutalize his way through the fight. I think that's
I would like to see him fight.
I
would like to see him fight Crawford now.
Yeah.
I would like to see him fight Crawford now, now before he gets any older.
Great. That would be good. Well, let's try Chris, because we got to get Dr. Don Skinner on soon.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Okay, Frank. I dropped him off. I'm on my way back. Anytime you want to put me on, I'm just riding in the truck.
We got you on now. We're going to call Don in a few minutes. I want to get you on before we called him. We've been talking
about
a couple fights we just talked about. Just to bring you up to date, is we talked about the Pedroza fight last week. And I guess you want to weigh in on that, the Beltran and Pedroza fight?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing. I liked it. I enjoyed the fight. That guy gave him a boxing lesson.
Yes, he did. From the beginning.
It's tough for a lightweight at age 38 to compete with those younger, faster guys. I'm glad he made a nice payday, but that guy just outboxing, handling with ease, I thought. He was just a little bit outclassed. He had a beautiful jab, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't very much he could do about it. He was just slower, and the other guy was faster and better.
Great.
So,
I
thought at the end he was going to knock him the hell out. He was bombing away at the end of the fight.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a little better than that, but it just didn't work out that way. I didn't realize that kid had that good a jab. He was that fast, mm-hmm. but he was left-handed. He managed to stay away from the right hands. He didn't get hit that much. He didn't get hit solid. So,
mm-hmm.
it's a muggy night up here in Pennsylvania, guys.
There you go. We were just talking about that before we were on air. I was just asking Z how things were up there.
Yeah, it was off and on.
Uh-huh. Hey, Chris, what do you think Manny Pacquiao, or I should say Bob Arum and Manny Pacquiao now are talking, who he'd like to fight next. One of the choices they wanted was Terrence Crawford. The other one was Mikey Garcia, and the third one was Keith Thurman.
Wow.
So I'll let you guys
know what?
That, and I'll get off and get done.
What makes them think that Pacquiao can go on forever? Some night he's just going to die, I think they're pushing him too hard. I mean, you're giving him top competition. Mikey Garcia and Pacquiao has to have lost something by now. He just can't keep going on and on fighting these tough guys. I don't know. I tell you the truth, I think it's going to affect him later on in life. But he fights hard. He puts it all out there. I mean, I don't see him, especially Bob Arum. Bob Arum is such a snake. Never treated Pacquiao right anyway. He won that fight over the guy that's the announcer now. He had to win 10 of the 12 rounds. Yeah, and they gave the fight to Bradley. Nobody was more shocked in the arena than Bradley. I never understood that, why Arm had that rig to go that way. You saw the fight. Yeah. He lost at least 10 rounds, Bradley. What do you think? You think that was...
No, he lost the fight. He lost the whole fight. I mean, 10, it could have been 10. He could have been, he lost a clear fight.
Oh, you know, 9 to 10 rounds I gave to Pacquiao.
Easily.
The first one. Mm-hmm. Remember the one, the first one? Easy, yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell was Bob Arum doing? I mean, you know, why did he, I know they were having arguments, you know, but you never know what goes on in the inner circles. You know, you don't know what the hell's going on.
Sure.
So now they're back together again. Well, only because Arum can make a buck. That's the only reason why. He's still marketable, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're going to throw him in with the best in the division already. At his age, what's he? 38 now?
38? Yeah.
38. I hate to see that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, let me ask you this. But this, Eddie Hearn claims that Wilder would go for a 50-50 purse deal with Joshua. If Joshua would take the fight. Z, what do you think about that fight?
I personally think that Joshua is a little bit too strong for him. But then there's questions about Joshua. You know, his stamina in the later rounds, you know, that's a questionable fight. It's one I'd like to see because the only way it can be answered if you see it. It's got to be made. I mean, you could stay here all night and say, well, Josh is big, strong, got too much weight. The other guy hits so damn hard, that weight doesn't matter. It seems like weight doesn't matter. He's got the reach. And so if he comes in at 222, 225, you know, it's not going to matter. That's his weight because, you know, he doesn't depend on upper body strength and that pushing. He's mainly a, you know, distance fighter with a hell of a right hand. So I think it could go either way. It's a heavyweight puncher's, you know, both guys have a puncher's chance at it. Whoever gets hit first could go, you know.
Yeah.
But you really can't figure the fight out. You know, you can see what the differences are, but you can't, you know, you really don't know till they get in the ring.
Right.
But neither guy's going to come out a poor man, that's for sure.
Yeah. See, you're the technical expert. You want to break that one down?
Well, as far as those two go, I always, when you have to say that a fighter has to kind of still develop, and they're fighting a guy who's kind of prime, I kind of go with the guy who's kind of prime, who's still prime. That's because the guy, when you're kind of debating, they're sort of on the same level, not saying technically, but just sort of all around generally on the same level, then I kind of go with the guy who's more seasoned, more prime, not, you know, but more seasoned. And, you know, just because the guy still has to develop. And that would be Joshua. Deontay Wilder is who Deontay Wilder is going to be. He's not going to develop anymore. Anthony Joshua still has room to develop. Still probably needs a bit of room to develop in a sense. So, I mean, as far as him beating Deontay Wilder, yeah, he's very well capable. He's very well capable of knocking Deontay Wilder out. With that said, the percentages I would lay to a Deontay Wilder, just off of the simple fact, Joshua's big. He's big.
Right.
Deontay Wilder's feet are livers. he's going to play the keep away game. He'll lose rounds to Joshua. He'll let Joshua, you know, poke and pry. He'll let Joshua burn his engine out a bit coming after him. If Joshua was a little too patient, Deontay's going to poke him with the jab a bit, make Joshua try, you know, try to amp his work rate up or try to open Joshua up a little bit. The moment Joshua opens something up, that lightning right's coming. It's coming from a weird, crazy, awkward angle or straight as an arrow. The right is coming. Joshua hasn't shown me. He's shown me a very good check. Shown me a very good check. He hasn't shown me lightning fast reactions that are going to avoid that right. That is one thing. He hasn't shown me ability to get the glove there, to move the head out the way. He in a fight against Deontay Wilder, I do not see how he doesn't eat that right unless he gets Deontay out there early. He doesn't get Deontay out early, it's going to be just going to be a matter of time. How he takes the right, that's how the fight's going to go. That's how the fight's going to go. If he gets up, if he doesn't go down, if he stays down. However, you know, Joshua, if he gets up and his head's good, I mean, he's a warrior. He's capable of wearing Deontay out. He probably doesn't want to keep running into that right, but he's capable of wearing Deontay out, knocking Deontay out. But always have to watch out for that. I mean, in a fight like that, I would have to say Deontay has the best puncher's chance I've ever seen. Now, the story really is Deontay and Tyson Fury are matching up. That's gonna be. I mean, it depends. To me, it depends on what form Tyson Fury is gonna come to the party with.
Welshman,
reactions late.
The fighting Welshman, Joe Calzaghe's cousin. All the way from Wales by way of boat. You know? Donald Skinner. Former famous veterinary surgeon in Upper Chichester Township.
Yes,
and
he
Maryland.
Was.
Good one. I got
too.
It covered. Got you covered, Donald. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I didn't get down to Italiano's and eat any more mussels after I that night we got, you know, we stuffed ourselves, but I'm looking forward to it. To see if it's a repeat.
That was enough for two meals.
Both dinners were great. So, we want your opinion on Joshua and Deontay Wilder. They're probably going to fight. I think you said earlier the contract's been 50-50.
Yeah.
So Don's got a different opinion, I bet. I'm not going to tell you what we just said. We'll put you right on the spot.
Wilder didn't look that great his last fight. Neither did Joshua, as far as that goes. But I think Wilder might have the heavier bombs.
Well,
what do you
think? Fight we're
so,
about... Yeah, go ahead.
Who are you putting your life savings on? All that veterinary money you made. Who are you betting? Who are you going to pick?
I think I'd Wilder.
You gonna pick Wilder? Damn. You guys two against one. I'm going with Joshua. Two against one
That's
so far, Don.
Well, you usually pick the wrong one.
Because I've been wrong. I've been wrong in a pick. I don't always pick a winner, you know.
Well, it makes me feel better that you didn't pick Wilder.
I just got a feeling that Joshua's going to bomb him. He's going to hit him first. I know Wilder has a decent chin, but I don't think he's tested. You know, he's been tested like Joshua's going to test him. So the fight, well, the fight's so close.
That
yeah, I've been watching the 24/7 of Canelo and Triple G. They just put it on this week. They both look good. They're both training hard. So we got another exciting one coming up.
Yep. Dr. Skinner,
I'm going to go with Triple G on that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
so my predictions are out there.
You know it's going down in the book.
I think Triple G could beat him when he was at his peak. But, you know, he's missed him. He's ducked him enough that the age might have caught up with him.
So you're going to go with excuse
no, me. I wouldn't go with him. I wouldn't bet against Triple G. He could take you out with one shot. But I would have felt much more confident with him if he'd have fought him when he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
When Triple G wanted to fight him, you know, but he ducked him enough.
Mm-hmm. Zito?
Yeah, he almost purposely made himself look bad so that he'd get the fight. That's the way it almost looked that way. It looked like he was slipping a little bit, but I think that when he really bears down and starts the training, I think he's going to go back to the body because he didn't use his left hook to the body at all against Canelo like he did against everybody else. That was his devastating punch, and he abandoned it. I never understood why. So
I could tell you why, Dr. Chris. Canelo's counterpunching. Early in the fight, Canelo he set a pace. Actually, he burned himself out early, but he set a pace. He started counterpunched well. When Triple G came forward, he landed some good left hooks. Landed some good counters to the body on Triple G, which really made Triple G hesitant throughout the whole fight. And if you notice, when Canelo ran out of steam, he kind of backed up, played defense, and he put himself on the ropes quite a bit. During those moments of putting himself on the ropes, normally against Triple G's opponents, that's when he sets his pace, gets his feet right, sets his jab up, and then he unleashes. He unleashes his right hooks, his straight rights, his left hooks to the body and to the head. He couldn't really do that against Canelo because he was a little respectful of Canelo's counterpunching. He got hit with a few uppercuts as he was trying to do that early in the fight, and he was a little too respectful. Therefore, he
How
used his
rounds?
Jab, which was very successful.
Do you think Canelo won?
I actually gave the fight a draw. I watched it maybe three times. And I kind of came up with a draw each time. It's hard for me to give Canelo rounds that he didn't win. He just didn't work. But it's hard for me to give Triple G rounds to where Canelo's landing the more effective shots and you're only landing the jab. I can't. And that kind of came out 6-6 to me. Canelo worked six rounds, and the six rounds he worked, those were the rounds that he won.
I think he won four.
That's why they didn't let you become a judge, Don. You were up for consideration, and they said, "Don't let this guy judge the fight. He's going to ruin a rematch."
Yeah. Well, that woman sure didn't ruin it. Canelo's trainer said she had it scored before the fight started.
That's my opinion. I don't think that fight was an all-out effort on Triple G's part. I think he was holding back. I still believe that. And, I think this fight's going to be different. I just can't I can't go against Triple G. I'm interested to see what the odds are from Las Vegas, what they think, because he's training out that way. They probably got a better day-to-day look at him than we do, you know. And for some reason or other,
I think it could come down to who's got the biggest heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they both got heart. You can't, you know. So I don't know what the hell.
One could be a little bigger.
I think it's going to come down to the judging again.
When it really gets tough.
Well, let me ask you this. One more question. And the winner of the Canelo fight, Canelo Triple G fight, is going to go on to win to fight the winner of the Lemieux O'Sullivan fight. How do you see that coming out?
Triple G knocked Lemieux out so easily with body shots, left hooks. And I didn't think it could be done that easy, but he did it. And if he abandons that left hook again like he's doing against Canelo, Lemieux's going to be in it a lot longer than he was with the last fight.
Uh-huh.
I think Lemieux is one tough son of a gun, but goddamn, Triple G wiped him out with that left hook, and he went down. He couldn't get up. He couldn't fight anymore. And I just don't know what's going to happen in the second fight. Who's got the confidence? Who doesn't have the confidence? It's Triple G. If Triple G beats Canelo, is that the fight they're looking for?
Yes.
That's the one they're looking for. Well, it'd be another good fight.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think, Steve?
Is Saunders still fighting the 165-pound division now? Billy Joe Saunders?
Yes.
He could give anybody a tough time, that guy.
Right. Zito, what do you think on the winner of the Canelo fight versus the Lemieux fight?
Lemieux and Spike O'Sullivan is going to Spike O'Sullivan is always entertaining. I always like seeing Spike O'Sullivan fight. He brings it. He's a guy who's going to be there. Entertaining guy. With that said, we know how Lemieux is. I feel sorry for Spike to a certain extent. Spike brings it, and this is the guy you probably want to be careful how you bring it against. And Spike is not the most careful guy how he brings it. You don't want to be open like that against Lemieux. Lemieux can crack against high quality guys who can really box. He can get his crack off against. Spike is a tough guy. Not noted. I mean, he can box, but he's not noted for his defensive boxing, to be honest. And you can't be like that against Lemieux. Not saying Spike can't hit or get there first, but Lemieux is a better fundamental boxer. And I mean, Spike may be taller, that he may have more dimensions, but that's not going to matter. Lemieux's faster, and Lemieux's more explosive, and Lemieux's better. And that just is a bad, bad recipe for Spike.
Dr. Skinner?
Do you think Lemieux got outboxed his last fight?
Against Billy Joe, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris, what's your
thought? He's been laying on that guy.
Lemieux got a boxing lesson. He went to school against Saunders. Saunders just looked fantastic. Like, he looked the second coming of Ali when he was young. I mean, neither guy, Triple J or Canelo wouldn't give Lemieux a boxing lesson like Saunders did. It would be a totally different fight. It would be a slugger's fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think Lemieux would ever want to see Saunders again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had his number that night. I mean, he just outboxed him something awful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
You know, Eddie Hearn, another fight that I want to ask you guys about. Eddie Hearn says that Dillon White is set to fight for in December, and he wants to fight with either Chisora, Brazil, or Big Baby Miller. Of the three, which do you think he has a better chance, see?
What was the middle? I didn't catch the middle name. You said Chisora, Big Baby Miller,
Chisora,
or who else?
Brazil. Brazil. And Miller.
Oh, Brazil. Well, it would fight Chisora again, and they had a wonderful fight when they went at it. I would love to see another one of those two fight, depending on what Chisora has left. Obviously, he has something left. He just knocked Carlos Takam out. So, I apparently would love to see that fight. Anthony Brazil, that would be an interesting fight. That would be a very interesting fight to see Dillon White fight a guy that big and that durable. You've seen it against Joshua. Brazil's not quite Anthony Joshua as far as just athleticism, just as far as boxing-wise. But, it'll be interesting to see how Dillon White handles that and how Dominic Brazil handles that. And oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the third name. What was the third name?
Yeah, Brazil, Chisora, and Big Baby Miller.
Big Baby Miller. Okay. Yeah, maybe that's why I'm drawing a blank. I don't really think Big Baby Miller has. I can't mention him up there right now because he hasn't done anything to be up there right now. He hasn't. If he has a ranking, I don't know how. I don't know why. He needs to fight somebody right now. At this point in time, I mean, Big Baby Miller, he has to show us something. I mean, you could talk everything, but the quality that you're fighting right now isn't showing us anything.
Right.
So you're talking above
Chris,
your level to me.
Yeah, Chris, what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't care for Miller at all. I just don't think he belongs where. I don't think he belongs in the ring. He hasn't proven himself enough to get a title shot, but for me.
Yeah.
But you know, who knows? The other two guys, they if they fight each other, it'd be a good fight, but. Baby Miller, I don't have any. He's one of my, what would you say? Maybe I pick on him too much, but he just doesn't impress me at all, you know? So
I agree.
It's not fair for me to comment, to be honest with you.
Right.
Donald, what do you think of Big Baby?
He's not
big,
in this class.
The big heavy guy.
Not in
their
class.
If it was a contest with a fork and knife, I'd pick Miller. You know? But,
wow. I'd take you.
You know.
He's picking
you.
No,
I don't know.
All right. Now let's get to the Welshman now. We got Tyson Fury claims that he signed a contract to fight Deontay Wilder for a early next year fight. Dr. Skinner, what do you think about that one?
Well, I haven't seen Fury fight that much, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris?
Well, yeah, you know, he hasn't proven to me that he's made the turnaround, that he's a new guy. He might not be I still don't know if he's the same guy.
Right.
But I think it would be a damn good fight. I would enjoy seeing it. Let's put it that way. But my money would not go on the big Irishman. He's just too clumsy, and I don't know. I don't know how much he's been damaged mentally. School's out on him. You know, he's trying to make a payday while he can. Can't blame him for that. But school's out. We don't know what the product really is. You know, he needs another good fight. You know, before he jumps in and fights one of the top two heavyweights in the world. You know, because right now he's not up there. I saw that last fight. He stepped around pretty good. He moved pretty good, but you know, I don't know. school's out. I gotta see him one more time. They're not having
Zito,
an opinion.
Zito, from the technical aspects, what do you think?
I think Dr. Chris said it perfectly, for the most part. Tyson Fury right now, in this form, from the past two fights that we've seen, his comeback fights,
mm-hmm.
he looks like he's steadily progressing. Looks like his body is steadily reacting with his mind. With that said, not on a top athletic level. Not to where a Wilder, a Joshua, a Dillian White, even a Chisora at this point in time. Not to where these guys are at. You have to sharpen your tools. If you don't sharpen your tools, then you can't cut. You can't cut with a dull knife. As simple as that. You're going to hack everything up, and it won't be what it's supposed to be. Tyson Fury was a good fighter. He may still prove to be. But the Tyson Fury that beats Klitschko is not here right now. He has to regain form. And to regain form, you need time and you need competition.
Right.
He doesn't really have either right now. So the level of competition that you're seeing him against is allowing him to gain form. But that's not going to help him out when he steps in the ring with Wilder. Those guys are not wild. They're not near the athleticism. They're not near anything boxing terminology that Wilder is. That's going to be a problem. Tyson Fury is a tough guy. He could take a shot. But he was dropped by Stevie Cunningham.
Right.
What is Deontay Wilder going to do to him?
Right.
It's as simple as that. Stevie Cunningham, he's a great boxer, good timing. To be honest, he's a better technical boxer than Deontay Wilder. But he also moved up from cruiserweight.
Mm-hmm.
What is Deontay Wilder going to do to Tyson Fury? And Tyson Fury was sharper then.
Right. Let me ask you this. We also got Yui Fury is going to get Pulev on the 27th of November. I'm sorry. No. Yeah, November 27th, November. What do you think on that fight, Chris?
You know what?
I
haven't seen a hell of a lot of either one of them to have a strong opinion on them. I mean, the younger brother's riding the coattails of the older brother. He's trying to get a career together, but he didn't show me that much. I don't see him becoming a heavyweight threat down the road. So, that fight could go either way. I just don't see that brother. He doesn't have the talent, doesn't have the size. How big is the younger brother?
What do you guys think of King Kong?
Of King Kong? I'm not sure.
The Cuban.
Luis Ortiz.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Louis Victor.
Louis.
King
Kong. Louis
Ortiz.
Louis, it depends what he has left. Louis, he's a little long in the tooth. He put up a very good performance against Deontay. Came out on the business end, the wrong side of it, but put up a good performance against Deontay. But it just depends what he has left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd you think, Doctor?
I'd like to see a rematch of that fight. I really would. I'd like to see him fight again. Because it left some unanswered questions the way Ortiz went out of there. Because he had a chance right up until he got knocked out. He was in that fight, and I'd like to see I'd like to see him fight again with maybe a little bit more knowledge than he had last time about Wilder. Maybe fight him in a different way.
Dr. Chris, how do you think a Joshua would do against Luis Ortiz?
Ah, boy. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Ortiz being left-handed and damn near as big as him. He could give Joshua a tough evening. I don't think overall over the 12 rounds he's going to win, but he could be a damn good opponent. A damn good opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, if it goes into the later rounds, I got to give it to Joshua. I don't think Ortiz is getting old now. I think he's older than he admits his age. So I'd have to pick Joshua in that fight. But it wouldn't be an easy one. That's, you know. What do you say?
Dr. Skinner?
I think he could knock anybody out if he gets it in early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
he's a threat.
Yeah, that's what I say. If he's his first six rounds, he can get you. If it goes into the later rounds, you got to go against his age and his, you know, he got there too late. He got to where he is too late in life. That's a mm-hmm. shame.
He did just have the good performance knockout his most recent fight, his comeback fight.
He would probably bring as big a crowd as anybody in that weight division.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if Joshua couldn't play the long game on him, I can't predict Joshua. Joshua would have to keep Ortiz away. He would have to use all 6'7" of himself and a little bit more foot activity to deal with Ortiz. If Ortiz got on the inside, he'd tear Joshua up. He's too schooled. He's just right now, at this point, he's just too schooled. But with that size and that threat of the power, Joshua, he's capable. He's capable.
The last one I have is asked about the Jorge Linares against Abner Cotto on September 29th. Z, what do you think about that one?
Well, this is Jorge Linares moving up to 140.
Right.
Jorge Linares, Abner Cotto is a tough. It's not the easiest fight for him to take at 140, but it's an appropriate step. I the best way I could say. Meaning it's a winnable fight, and it's a credible fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jorge Linares, he's very, very talented.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, very talented, but.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. You got me on that one. I don't know a hell of a lot about it. I'm not strongly opinionated on either one of them guys. But
okay.
We're gonna have to pass it on. We'll pass it on to Don Skinner, see if he's
right.
seen him. Yeah, let's get a Welshman's opinion here.
There you go.
Well, we never talked about them, do we, Chris? they're not in our recent vocabulary. who's going to take the
Welshman? I saw a lightweight the other night. I saw a left-handed lightweight the other night. It was a powerhouse. It was a rerun. I was trying to catch the date of the rerun. He was fighting on a card with Badu Jack, and that kid looked awesome. Was it one of the? He's from one of the Russian provinces. I'm wondering if he won a title of some type. Boy, was he impressive!
Mm-hmm.
There's some damn good fights coming up if they'd only make them.
Yeah.
You know? They only make the damn things. I mean, we could see, you know, it's just so much money involved in each one of them that they want to put it out every 6 months. It's like the guy's going to be 100 years old before, before he gets a chance to prove himself. These guys have to fight more often. You know, they're not fighting enough. Once a year, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you look back at your heavyweights of the past, they fought more. I didn't fight 16 fights fighting for the title. They had, 35, 40 fights before they got a title shot. These guys are fighting
four
for
times
the title
a year.
16 fights. Unbelievable.
Yep.
And you really don't know them like you should. You have to see them under, varied circumstances. So, but there's some damn good fighters. Like they're on the undercards. They're on. I watched the reruns on that 373 Showtime. Great, some great fighters out there. They could, if you could get them on in this country. There's a guy, an Armenian, that's a tremendous fighter. And then there's a, like I say, there's Russian. I mean, they are really exciting, good fighters. I'd like to see some of these damn guys, more often instead of being promoters fighters, fight once every 6 months. So,
there aren't any.
The name of the game is to make money. They ought to fight,
There aren't any Sugar Rays around.
No more. Sugar Ray had a hell of a lot of fights. Lamont, all those guys fought. Christ, they fought often. You saw them often. A lot of 10-round fights that were great fights. They weren't title fights, but they were great fights. These guys just don't fight enough. By the time they got 25 fights, they had their career. They're ready to retire. They don't want to fight, like Dante Wilder twice. He had so many setups, Christ.
When did you, ever see guys fighting for a title after 10 fights?
Right.
Never. Oh, Lomachenko, he's an exceptional talent, but across the board, I'm seeing guys with 12 fights fighting for a WBA or WBC. They're fighting for a title shot, and 12, 15 fights. Mm-hmm. They try to keep them undefeated up to the time they fight for a title.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get the experience they should.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you go down through time...
Who do you think the fighter of the year is right now?
Wow.
Hmm.
That's a hard pick.
Yeah, who's had more than one fight this year?
You fight once a year, it's hard to pick. It's a hard pick.
Like, who had the best fight?
How about Mikey?
Mikey Garcia?
Yeah.
Lomachenko. He had the best performance to me.
I can't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue against Lomachenko.
Right.
I'd like to see those
two. We'll see.
I would, too. I would, too, Dr. Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, we're up against our time limit here. Dr. Skinner, I really appreciate personally for everything you did for us when we were up in that area and for our dogs. You were always a tremendous resource for us. Chris, thanks for coming on again, and thank you for helping us get a hold of reconnect with Dr. Skinner, and we look forward to having him back on in the very near future.
He's gonna bring Calzaghe on next time.
There we go.
He'll be a star. He'll be an early star. He's gonna bring Neil Calzaghe on.
What do you think Calzaghe's best attribute was?
Going to the bank.
Endurance.
I know.
Endurance.
Already know what you think, Don. You think his best attribute was his tremendous stamina. And the speed, he had the same speed in the 12th round as he had in the first round. He never ran out of gas, that guy.
Never.
That was one of his, That's why nobody beat him. He fought 12 rounds. He made you fight 12 rounds. You didn't get a rest.
Just moving and punching. Just always moving and punching.
Yeah.
Got a good chin, too.
Moving him. He did have a good chin because he fought a lot of bombers. Nobody ever dropped him. I never seen him drop.
He never
Roy Jones starting with the forearm.
Z, you want to lead us out?
Oh, I sure do. I want to thank Dr. Skinner. Always want to thank Dr. Chris. Want to thank you, Butch, all of my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call. Butch.
We'd like to thank Dr. Skinner and Dr. Chris for coming on again each and every week. Our resident boxing historian, Dr. Chris, always has great stories to tell and great people to be able to bring into the program. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please let them know you know they're there. A handshake, a wink, or a simple thank you or thank you for what you do or stay safe, my brother and sister, is always great to hear. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bainger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogel, Wongwaquee Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Ronnie Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, F.D. Lee Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Bowen, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Office, and Clay County Deputy Chris Zerba. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Well said.
Shem alek ma yilama Shem ahezahil ma Son Hashem vorat fed Hakuig again ma yilama Shem alek ma yilama
1999's responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.